ॐ श्री भगवते आनन्दरूपाये नमः। 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 ॐ श्री भगवते आनन्दरूपाये नमः।
From a nice compilation called Om Diksha, and it's a compilation of various artists, like Deva Pramal is on here. Most of the other ones I don't quite recognize. You are tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton. Victor Robert Venskus here, and with us online is Mary Terhune, and she's author of a new book called Out of the Blue, and in which she shares her personal journey of spiritual awakening, mystical encounters, and visions, as well as the universal truths revealed to her in the process. She had a life crisis, and she spontaneously received revelations from Jesus that transformed her conscious awareness, changing her life forever. This was a profound experience of self-realization that brought her the message that divinity is humankind's natural state that one needs to reclaim. She then had an encounter during meditation that showed her beyond any shadow of doubt that birth and dying are actually illusions. She went on to have an amazing introduction to homeopathy, which expanded her training as a registered nurse into a different understanding and approach to disease prevention, curing, and healing. And she urges us all to become mindful of our omniscient essence and embrace the paradigm shifts in preventive and curative medicine as we awaken to consciousness and as the primal force of life. She has been involved in the healing arts for over 40 years, from allopathy to homeopathy and body-centered therapeutic massage, and also works with Reiki and energy medicine. She studied at the Renaissance Institute of Classical Homeopathy and has a degree in sociology from Boston College, which we broadcast from. And after practicing Western medicine in different settings, she discovered natural medicine out of the need to heal herself. And so I welcome Mary Terhune. Good morning to you.
Hi, Victor. Nice to be here.
Yeah, wonderful book. Thank you for sending it to me, but also thank you for writing it. It's just a wonderful read. So let's begin by your experience. of self-realization, and maybe you could define that term for us.
Well, with my whole awakening, spiritual awakening, began very spontaneously, and it was a shock to me because I was really an agnostic. It happened at a time where I was going through an immense life crisis, and my whole life fell apart, and I lost my home and my money and, you know, the typical crises that people can go through in life. And I reached such a low point. There was this one moment I was standing in my living room, and I was just absolutely sobbing, deeper than I had ever sobbed in my life. And at that time, I didn't care if I lived or died. You know, it was that bad. And I cried out, and I said, "Please, God, let me die." Now, God, that was the first time I had used that word in a long time. "Please, God, let me die." And in that moment, as I began to sob even more deeply, I felt this enormous presence come over me, and this light came through my window in the living room. And it was so powerful in its presence that I had to lay down on the couch. And then this presence began speaking to me. Seven different revelations, and it began with the topic of forgiveness. And then I realized, and my soul realized, this was the Master Jesus. His voice, I heard his voice through this, in this light. And
forgive me, why did you interpret this as being Jesus?
When it happens to you, you just know, and it's like a memory coming back to you. I'm sure I'd been with him in a past life.
Does he have long hair like I do?
Well, he didn't come in the form of a vision in that way at that time. He came in the form of light, light consciousness, this powerful light consciousness.
Okay.
And it was from there that he spoke, and it was as if he downloaded all this knowledge and information in me, and he opened up all the chakras in my body, and I felt these chakras, these energy centers in my body moving. And the first thing he spoke about was forgiveness, that all forgiveness is about self-forgiveness, and that I had to forgive myself because I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know. I was dead asleep and, you know, in the separative egoic structure. And so he began with self-forgiveness, and he showed it into my own life, and he gave me an inner experience of it. And he went through six other topics in the same way. He went then on to judgment, which all judgment, he said, is self-judgment. And then he went on to the Bible to talk about that. He went on to speak about weight and emotions. He spoke about disease as trapped emotions creating illness. And he went on to speak about aging. And then finally, the ego. And by the end of this, he had opened my third eye. And the reason that I knew that he opened my third eye is that after this session happened, after however long it was, a half hour, whatever it was, I had this immense experience of this energy of this divine love flowing through me that I'd never experienced before. And I went out into the backyard to get some fresh air. And to my surprise, I saw all these little photonic packets of light surrounding the trees, surrounding everything. This light, this consciousness that precedes matter, that's behind all the creation of matter. And it had an energy in it, and the energy of that was love. And it was a divine love that was beyond anything that I had ever knew or felt in my entire life. And I said out loud to it, "My God, this is paradise. This place on earth is paradise, but we've made it into something else."
Now, would you outline for us the revelations that you've had? You had seven revelations.
Yeah. The first one was on forgiveness, and that he spoke to me and said, "You have to forgive yourself because you didn't know any better. You didn't know what you didn't know. You didn't know about divinity. You didn't believe in it. You know, you lived out of the ego, which is the fear structure of life, and the reactions from living in the ego is fear, which leads to anger, which leads to hate, a lot of self-hate, a lot of blame and guilt. You know, certainly I felt that. And he said, you have to forgive yourself because you didn't know any better. So that all forgiveness was self-forgiveness. Forgiveness was something you do for yourself. And then he spoke about judgment and that all judgment is self-judgment. When you judge someone, because we're all one on that level of divinity, you're really judging yourself. So there's no reason to judge. Because you suffer when you judge, is that you come out of your oneness into that duality. And then he spoke on the Bible, and he said, now can you see how they, you know, misuse my words in the Bible? And I could feel his sorrow that we misuse them against each other, again in that judgment form. Then he gave me the experience of my emotions floating all around me. And any stuck emotions, and he spoke about weight and how weight is what carries emotions, and that you have to learn to deal with your emotions, to release those emotions, and to release, therefore, the weight, which is just an external manifestation of trapped, life trapped energy. He went on to speak about disease, that disease states are is disharmony in consciousness, which is caused by, again, trapped emotions and thoughts, and that disease is an externalization of something that got trapped in consciousness and caused a disharmony in the system. He spoke about aging and that we really age because of our trapped mental thoughts, and how we think in negative ways and how we hold that negativity within us, which doesn't allow for the natural flow of this divine light, which is behind all matter, which is behind ourselves driving them. And because of that, we get worn out. Then he spoke about the ego as a structure, a very temporary structure, but a structure built by thinking we are this individual person in this dualistic life of right and wrong, and that we are not the ego, that we're something more than the ego. Of course, I wouldn't understand everything he was saying until I had another very strong initiation that happened 2 years after. So this was in 1984, and then 2 years later, out of this desire to really understand what happened to me, because I couldn't speak to anybody about it. I didn't know anybody who had these kinds of experiences. So it was a time of sort of this spiritual isolation for me. I was just graduating, in the midst of graduating from massage school at the time, a three-year massage school. And so it was very, very difficult, and I kept trying to find anybody who could understand or listen to things and talks and things, but I really couldn't speak about it because I didn't know how to speak about it. And then in 86, I happened to go to a talk by someone on energy medicine, and he spoke, the first thing he said was, E equals MC squared, Einstein's theory of relativity. And he talked about light and matter. And when I went to see him, because he was a healer, there was a picture of this monk on the wall. And I said, who is that? And he said, well, that's a monk, and she'll be here in about 2 weeks. Do you want to meet her? And I said, yes. I just had this extraordinary connection with her. And then when I met her, I had another initiation through this monk, which initiated me even more deeply. And then in 1988, is when I had the most profound experience of self-realization, which is basically a dropping away of the egoic structure of individuality to merge into your true divine state of the beloved, of presence, divinity, Brahman. And it was a very alchemical experience. I felt this whole energy moving through my body. People call it the Kundalini. And I got to really experience that. Of course, Jesus gave me experience of that a few years earlier when he opened my chakras, but I really didn't understand what that was all about then. And now I understood this was the great awakening And then from that time on, it was just a matter of assimilating this, understanding it, applying it to my life, living out the karmic experiences that I had to go through, but now with a greater understanding. So life wasn't so much easier as much as it was, I had greater understanding, and this has just continued to unfold and unfold. And then later, many, many years later, I had an experience of homeopathy and the taking my first remedy, and then my consciousness leaving my body after I took it. And wherever I was stuck in this grief, there was a twinkling light that came towards it in the form of the remedy, releasing this grief. So I got to experience, in a very mystical way, the innate law of like cures like. Like cures like. The remedy that you take is like the suffering that you're going through. And so my life has unfolded through that. I had experiences of my own death during a meditation, leaving the body, being taken out by another monk. And then I had it in 2006. I actually died of a heart attack, but was amazingly brought back. I had the big one, and where about 2% of people survive. It was then that I decided to self-publish the first incarnation of this current book, also called Out of the Blue. And through a miraculous event, Wayne Dyer, I sent him this book miraculously. He actually read it, and he loved the chapter on self-realization so much that he said it was the best description of self-realization he's ever read. And then he invited me to his Divine Love Seminar in January of 2014. And it was then he read from my book. There were about 600 people there. And he said, "Hey, how's going to republish this book?" And then I rewrote it. I added a lot of new things that I hadn't put in the first book. And so that was an amazing time meeting Wayne. And it was all around this time, and around that time afterwards, I met Evan Alexander, who wrote Heaven is for Real. I met Anita Morjani, who was also at that conference. She wrote Dying for Me, and a few other authors, Hay House authors. So, and of course, it's changed the type of work that I do, the type of body work that I do. I'm now doing something called Sacred Connections Body Work. It's very integrative body work where I bring in Traeger work, which is gentle rhythmic rocking massage movements to release traumas and pains and stress and emotional mental patterns, and to work with the person's breath, because when you do that, it opens you to this deeper state, and it opens the experience of divinity.
All right. Now, you don't name the monk or your spiritual teacher. Why is that?
Because my book is really about universal life experiences of your mystical nature, and not about a particular path. Because everyone has their own path, and like I do. And so it's sort of that's for me, and it's personal. But this book is not about. It's for anybody on any path, no matter what path you're on. These are universal experiences of the divine within. People have their own personal way of returning to the beloved within their own heart. And so I just leave it that way.
Now, your first experience was, you didn't look for it.
No.
You were at a bad place, and kind of reminds me of, was it Paul in the Bible? He went out to kill Christians and got zapped with self-realization, right?
That's what happened, yes.
I had a somewhat similar experience where I was still a virgin, and I had this unrequited love situation, and I got rejected, and it's like I just wanted to die. And I walked back from Cambridge to South Boston hoping somebody would mug me and kill me. And I was lying in bed, you know, with self-pity and stuff. And I heard this voice that said, "Don't fool around." And I said, okay, tell me more. And I had this experience of in my solar plexus where the words resist temptation. And then I had a series of dreams that I interpreted as pointing to a way to enlightenment, non-attachment to the physical world, non-attachment to emotion. And I had some really intense experiences. Do you feel that everyone is capable of experiencing these profound states?
Yes, this is who we are. And eventually, in one lifetime or another, you start becoming curious about your own nature. And then you start asking the big questions, who am I? Why am I here? What is this all about? When you become disillusioned enough in this outer world and with this egoic fear, anger, hate, separation, that when you get tired of that, you're sort of led to this inner quest of the Holy Grail, of the Beloved within, only to discover that you are the Beloved with the Beloved, as the Beloved, and it's this amazing experience of light and peace and bliss that is an eternal energy that we are. And when that's why I say, when I had the experience of death, there's no such thing as death, there's no such thing as birth. We are this eternal nature of the Beloved.
Yeah, and then you got into chanting. Now, tell us about that experience.
Of chanting?
Yes.
Chanting is another way of calling to your own soul, and it's another doorway into that inner experience of nowness, of being in the now, of taking that your energy that you would normally use out in the world and sort of calling to your own presence, you know, calling to the Beloved. And there's this beautiful, if you don't mind me reading, this beautiful poem by Kabir. Because when you use your breath in chanting, you know, you're really talking to the divine. And if you don't mind, I'd love to read this because it's so beautiful.
Oh, sure. Go right ahead.
And Kabir was a 15th century Indian mystic poet. And Kabir says of the Beloved, are you looking for me? I am in the next seat. My shoulder is against yours. You will not find me in the stupas, not in Indian shrine rooms, nor in synagogues, nor in cathedrals, not in masses, nor kirtans, not in legs winding around your own neck, nor in eating nothing but vegetables. When you really look for me, you will see me instantly. You will find me in the tiniest house of time. Kabir says, student, tell me, what is God? He is the breath inside the breath.
Okay. I was fascinating from your book, Out of the Blue, your experience with sparrows.
Mm. Yeah, when I had this spontaneous awakening, both of this energy of love, this divine love flowed within, and I had the experience of being in oneness with nature, and being in oneness with everybody. And I was riding my bike, and I stopped to watch people playing baseball. And I noticed down at my foot there was this injured sparrow, and it was kind of spinning around because I could see that it was injured. And so I picked it up, and I put it to my heart just to calm it, maybe with my heartbeat. And then I took him home. And I called a friend of mine who I just got introduced to, who was this psychic, who, as I was doing, starting to do some Reiki at that time. And even though I didn't quite, you know what to do with all of this, she said, you know, just give the bird some Reiki, give it some rescue remedy, and it'll be fine. And I'm thinking, I don't think this bird's going to be fine because one of its eyes is damaged and it's having a hard time flying. So, but I thought, well, I'm just going to try this, you know. So I got a box, put some grass in and put some seed and, you know, doing the best I could with what I understood to be the right thing to do. And then I would give it Reiki. And then the first day I gave it Reiki, did all this, and then I had to go to work. And I came home, okay, now it's the second day, and you're giving it Reiki, trying to help it along. And okay, then on the third day, I come home, and there's no bird in the box. And I'm thinking, oh my God, this bird flew out of the box. He's hit a wall. He's dead somewhere in the corner. I have to look for him. And all of a sudden, I see him sitting on the couch, perched on the couch, where I had this experience of Jesus, you know. And I went into this oneness state, is all I can say, into this deep oneness state with everything. And I said out loud to the bird, if you fly and sit on the box, I will take you outside and I won't hurt you. You don't have to be afraid. And to my shock and amazement, the bird flew onto the box. He let me come over, pick him up. I brought him outside and I released him into the tree where I saw that light surrounding it. And he just flew up into the tree, just looked at me, and then he flew off. And I was completely shocked and amazed. It was a very moving experience for me. And then another time I was at the meditation center that I went to for a week. And I walked out onto this deck. There were a bunch of my friends out there. It was early morning, and they were walking in front of me. And there were a lot of sparrows, you know, eating the crumbs because it was an open deck. And all of a sudden, you know, all the sparrows flew off, except for one. And I was sort of behind, and everybody else was ahead of me. And I looked at the sparrow, and again, I had that experience of oneness, again, with nature and everything and love and this profound state. And I went over, and I just put my finger next to the sparrow, and he hopped up on my finger, and I picked him up, and I started just looking at him, and I almost felt like he was going to talk to me, tell me something. And all of a sudden, someone noticed, and from the group, and came over, oh, I want to hold it, and he took off. But it was that amazing connection with oneness that's in nature, and how nature is that living oneness of consciousness. It's the same. And another time, I was at that time working at MIT, and I was in a lobby where I used to meditate, and there was a big ficus tree in the lobby, and I heard this bird chirping, and I realized, oh my gosh, that's a sparrow, and he's sitting on a limb in the tree, and it's a closed lobby, and I thought, well, how is he going to get out, you know? He came in through, I guess, a revolving door, and so I walked over to him and I said, listen, I had that experience of oneness. And I said, if you let me catch you, I'll take you outside and release you. And to my shock, I just reached over and took him off the tree and brought him outside and released him. And it also shocked this man who was watching me. And I released him and the sparrow flew out from where I held him by my heart. And the guy just looked at me smiling. So it's that oneness. When you come into the oneness of yourself, it's the same oneness of nature. Then nature starts to reveal its secrets to you, and its mystical nature to you. So that was my experience, and it still is today.
Okay, I'm going to take a little bit of a music break, and I want to talk to you a little bit off. And you are tuned to 90.3 WZBC Newton, and my guest for this morning is Mary Terhune. And you can send us questions on AOL if you dial up WZBCDJ.AOL. You don't have to talk. You could type in your question. Okay, we are back with Mary Terhune. I want to relate a sparrow story for you. When I was a kid, only on Sundays, I used to throw out food onto the neighbor's roof. And all these sparrows would gather every single Sunday. I would do that, and only Sunday. One Sunday, I didn't do that. And all the sparrows gathered, and they started to fly up to the window on the windowsill. It's like they knew it was Sunday. They weren't there any other day waiting for the food, and it was the only time I did that, was a Sunday. As my mother was a very bland cook, so I threw out the food to the birds. Now, yeah, okay, again, you had spontaneous experiences. Also, you had experiences in meditation. Now, can one invoke the experience of self-realization?
It's nothing that you can make happen. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ego wants to be the doer, right? It wants to make something happen. But really, realization in any of these experiences really come from the place of the beloved. And when it's time for you, and it's, you know, when it's the right time, you have these experiences. And so it's just, you don't get attached to anything. You don't get attached to experiences. You're just there in the presence, in the moment, in meditation. You can meditate on your breath, and you can bring your attention to the space between the breath, the spaces between the breath. That's where the beloved lives, in that now, in that moment, in this presence of the now, and then it can open the doorway to this experience. So you don't make it happen. It just happens of its own accord.
Now, you had a slightly difficult time in relating your experiences to other people, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk to us about how that happened, and I don't know if you could answer why, but let's give it a try.
Well, you know, this was like 30 years ago. So 30 years ago, no one was really openly speaking about consciousness and spirituality and near-death experiences. And certainly, I didn't know anybody because I wasn't running in those circles. I didn't even know what a spiritual path meant.
Mm.
And so it took me time to finally make connections with different people. And it was over time. And, you know, when I met the monk, and then I went to a meditation center, and then I started studying, and then I started sort of being with other people who've had experiences, so I didn't feel so weird about my experiences, and I knew they were real. And but it's something that occurs over time. And, you know, and not everybody who has experiences really questions them as quite as deeply as I did, but it was just my nature to really keep questioning and asking and wanting to go deeper.
Yeah, and you talk about having this these revelatory experiences, and then you have to wash dishes.
That's right. And I was, yes, because in the world we bring our service to the world. We don't sit on a mountaintop. So whatever service you're here to give, this is the place of action. The earth is the place of action, and bringing, coming into the community and serving in that place.
Now, I think it was Lao Tzu who said, before enlightenment, you chop wood, carry water. Mm-hmm. After enlightenment, you chop wood, carry water.
But now you're doing it from a different state of mind. And it's a whole different experience now. You know, that now you're in the joy and in the non-attachment of life, and that's where you fall into the presence that's now. In every moment of now that you're in, the more present you're in it, you will find these little miracles happen in exchanges with people because you're open to them now. and it can happen anywhere. You know, synchronicities happen.
Okay, if you were to write another chapter of Out of the Blue, what would it say?
Oh.
Where are you at now?
I would probably talk about this time as the age of dissolution of the egoic structure, and the coming in the integration now of the beloved within, and I would offer perhaps more suggestions about that. We talk about that this is the natural evolution of humanity, so that, you know, we see the state of the world now, and a lot of people are freaking out about it, but to understand that this is really, we're moving through this natural evolution of humanity, and this stage has to happen because our world has been built from egoic structure of fear and limitation and not enough. And now we're moving towards the oneness structure of integration within with the beloved and coming from that place. And we can't serve two masters, you know. Eventually the egoic structure has to go, but the breakdown can be very scary inside yourself. Like, who am I? What's going on? And so you really have these amazing experiences of integration. And one of the ways that one of the suggestions that I have is to meditate on your breath. I would suggest meditation and just being aware that there is the beloved within, and you are the beloved with the beloved. And so is everyone. And bringing our attention to this inner awareness. And don't watch too much TV. Don't get into all the fear. It's always there, but, you know, we're moving into different times. And to be aware of your breath and to be curious about your own nature.
Now, you know, when I hear the word ego, all I can think of is political leaders all over the world. You know, Trump has a huge ego, Putin, the leader of Afghanistan. It seems like, you know, these people seem to, like, run the world. And if you were in Syria, parts of Africa, Palestine, you would say, where is there any indication that there is a new age? We have something like 35 million people who are displaced. You know, people are starving to death in third world countries and even not so third world countries. Yeah. What do you say to that?
Well, I would say that we built this world from the egoic separatism. The ego is nothing more than identification of yourself as a separate person with a separate life, and you're separate from everyone. And you live your life that way out of fear and not enough and hate. The duality, the ego structure, is a dualistic structure. And as you can see, we're reaching a crisis point where people are waiting, wait a minute, we can't live this way anymore. In other words, I can't live this way anymore. So you have to address your own egoic structure of your own fear and be curious to move into that integration of the beloved within so that you're living more out of this oneness that we are all in this together, that we need one another, that everyone has this divinity within each other. Because you can see, if we don't, we're just going to get more of the same. So a lot of people are waking up. We're talking about consciousness now. Even scientists are coming to speak about consciousness and looking at it in a different way. And this is something that, you know, 30 years ago, this wasn't going on.
Yeah,
what you're seeing is a breakdown of the egoic structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all coming to the surface. It has to come to the surface of consciousness. Otherwise, you're not going to choose something else.
Now, have you had visions of the future?
Well, I would say the future of divinity within, yes.
Okay.
And when I had the experience of self-realization in 1988, when I had the experience that I am Brahman and all of this is my creation, I heard the words from the beloved or divine or Brahman, whatever you want to call it, this presence, and the exact words were, here is your divinity, the divinity that awaits all mankind. Your soul wants full expression now. This is the presence. This is the living presence. This living. This is real. And after I heard those words, I saw a vision of Jesus rising in a cloud with his hands up to the sky. And I wondered, oh, am I ascending too? Mm-hmm. And that ascension I came to understand was the ascension within ourselves from egoic structure to beloved structure, to divinity and oneness. And many years later, I came upon, I think it was Luke in the Bible, where he said, when you see Jesus rising in a cloud up in the sky, know that your redemption is drawing near. So we are sort of redeeming ourselves. We're waking. This is the natural evolution of humanity. And the old structure in our own lives, when it falls apart, feels like a death. And externally, you see it. So this is just a falling away of this. And I would say the best way to live in the world is to reclaim our true nature of oneness, and to act with everybody in that way, whether you're in the grocery store or with your family or wherever that is, practice that state, and that's a powerful state.
Now, some people on psychedelics have experienced something similar, of the dissolution of the ego and not identifying themselves with whatever careers they have. I don't know if I have a question here. I kind of came close on an LSD experience, listening to the birds' song where they sing, I opened my heart to the whole universe and I found it was loving. Any comment on people who have had LSD experiences or mushroom experiences of this kind of nature?
Well, I've never had that experience, so I really can't speak to it, mm-hmm. but... apparently they've touched something yeah. in them that hopefully will then lead them into more inquiry.
Yeah, well, this has been true of a lot of people. You know, they got into meditation. You know, they got a glimpse of, let's call it the divine, even if it was induced by a substance. I think that people have a change of consciousness because of experimentation in these realms. Once again, I want to thank you so much for writing this book, Out of the Blue, and how can people get in touch with you and obtain a copy of this wonderful book of yours?
Thank you very much. Appreciate that.
How can people get in touch with you and also avail themselves of your services? You still do homeopathy, am I right?
I teach intro classes to people, to mothers, and typically mothers and women, because they're usually the ones who hold the healing in the family or are very open to it, but men as well, of course. So I offer individual and group intro classes, just basic remedies for acute events like prevention of the colds and flu and tick bites, accidents, that sort of thing. I don't take cases, I refer those out, but I do teach people how to use it and how to help themselves in these little acute events, which can then lead them, perhaps, when they have a positive experience, to using it in a more chronic way. So you can reach me through my website, marytrehune.com, marytrehune.com. And on my website, I have the book is available, The Sacred Connection, Body Work. I only have a female clientele now because after many years of doing, you know, like decades of work using traditional massage, I sort of had to not work on men anymore, be sorry, because they're just too heavy and strong for me. So it was in 2006, after I had that big heart attack, that I had to kind of make that choice and that decision. But I do have people can come and work with me. I use Traeger body work, the as I said, the gentle rhythmic rocking massage movements, along with dry massage. I don't use oil anymore, and I really work with the person's whole being and opening up that breath and getting the body to release. So you can find out more about that on my website. And of course, my book is on the website as well. And if people are interested in having me come and speak about my book, you can contact me from my website to do that. I will be speaking at an IAN conference next year in 1918 about the ascension of humanity and reclaiming our divine nature. So, yeah.
Also, the book is available at locally here at Seven Stars Bookstore in Central Square, Cambridge.
And it's also on Amazon.com. It's also through Hay House. And any of the other venues online, you can get this book out of the blue.
I work
out of Groton, Massachusetts, by the way, in Groton Therapeutic Massage in Groton, Massachusetts, and that's on my website as well. And by the way, if I can mention, we are looking for a female experienced therapeutic massage therapist to work on call on Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. So if anybody's interested in working in Groton and doing that work, they can reach Anthony. Can I give a phone number?
Oh, yes, please.
Anthony at 978-449-4040. And we have other practitioners there who use hot stone and the traditional massage. But it's a nice, small little office. It's very friendly. It's very towny. A Groton Therapeutic Massage in Groton, Mass.
Okay. And that number was 978-449-4040.
That's to reach Anthony if you want to work there as a massage therapist. You can speak with him.
Okay.
And if you want to reach me directly, you can come from my website. And also, you can text me or call me at 978-505-9554.
Now, do you anticipate having more experiences of self-realization or, I don't know, going further even?
I don't come from the state of anticipating, because that's living in the future. But rather, I just, in space, know this is my natural state, and I just do the practices, and whatever happens, happens. Certainly, I have, like you, dreams of mystical experiences and conversations, and so it can happen in your dreams, it can happen in life. But it's just as life unfolds, it becomes more and more interesting because you begin to open more and more and more, and you experience more of this state of calm inside, so that when something happens that can be a little traumatic or unexpected, you can just go right into that state and pause for a minute and then come from a more calmer state to respond to the situation. So it's very helpful in daily life.
Would you say that self-realization experiences are synonymous with cosmic consciousness?
Yes, it's one, because my experience of it was I am Brahman and all this is my creation. And I experienced life as Mary as a temporary story of individuation that dissolved into the true state of the beloved, of the divine with the divine, Brahman, whatever you want to call it. And it's a state of love. It's beyond fear. It's a state of oneness. There is no other. There's no one to blame. It's a state of complete knowing. And you come more from knowing rather than doing. And you are no longer in two separate wills, the egoic will and your divine will. Now you're living in one will, and everything, your whole breathing changes, everything about you. It's a very physical, alchemical experience of light. that is very difficult to put into words, and therefore they say it's an experience.
Now, do you ever still get pissed off at people?
Not really. I'm not as reactive as the way I used to be. It's more you pause, take a look, you see what's going on, and then you respond. The ego is reactive, the self is responsive, the soul is responsive. And really, you don't want to be pulled out of your equanimity because it's not a pleasant experience. But, I mean, there's always a place where you, you know, it's what I call it consciously dealing with something, and you can be strong about it, but it doesn't have to come from a place where you're pulled out of your balance.
Yeah, no, you devote quite a few pages to homeopathy, and I was fascinated by your experience that it works on consciousness. Can you expand upon that experience for you?
Yeah, well, homeopathy is a consciousness-based system of medicine. In other words, the remedies itself are so highly diluted, they're from nature, so highly diluted that they only exist on the level of consciousness. It's no more of a material state of that plant. It's so highly diluted that now you're working with the consciousness of that plant, the living essence. Because everything is consciousness, everything, everywhere we are, nature is, everything is created from consciousness. And the material world, what's behind it, is this living, omniscient, intelligent state of consciousness. And the remedies act with your consciousness when you're stuck on the mental emotional level, which is consciousness, thoughts, and you're holding those thoughts and the pain of those thoughts. So for me, I was working with the grief in my life, grief about my mother who I left when I was very young, and the grief of all of that, and how it impacted my life and relationships from that point forward. And when I went to see a homeopath, she gave me a remedy in water, and that remedy was called Nat Yor, which is table salt. And the essence of that remedy is the mother is dead. In other words, you have no connection with mother and that nurturing and the grief of that. So when I took this remedy, I had the experience of going out into the void, into the dark void, where I saw, with the twinkling light, I saw that as the essence of my grief, where I was stuck in my consciousness. And all of a sudden, from the side, I saw this another little twinkling light that looked just like my light where I was stuck. And I understood that was the remedy coming. And when it met that grief, it dissipated it. And so when I went back into my body, I realized, oh my gosh, this is how we heal. We heal by releasing these held emotions, these trapped emotions, which are consciousness. And when we release them, then the healing can come. And I sobbed a lot, and I would have healing dreams about relationships. And so it was that sort of beginning of that process. And so the underpinning law of homeopathy, which exists in all of nature, is like cures like. So the likeness of that remedy cured the likeness of what I was suffering from, and by taking that remedy, it touches that place to release it on the level of consciousness. And it's an experience, and when people take a remedy for the first time, they will have an experience of it and be amazed, and I'm always amazed by it. Every time I use homeopathy, I'm always amazed at how it works. And now we're understanding, you know, as I said, the scientists are coming to understand that consciousness doesn't come from the body, but it's outside the body, and that outside the body is your own presence, or divinity, or omniscience, Brahman, whatever you want to call it, that's behind the material world, that's behind ourselves, giving it life, having it function. There's this wonderful book that came out called Infinite Awareness, The Awakening of a Scientific Mind, by Marjorie Woollacott, who's a neuroscientist. And she has this interesting book that talks about all the research they're doing into consciousness now. And even the psychologists now are starting to turn towards quantum reality and understanding people's experiences from that. And there's another great book called Living in a Quantum Reality by Valerie Varin, who talks about the need for psychology to embrace this understanding of consciousness and people and what's going on when people have the breakdown of the egoic structure.
And more people are having near-death experiences because technology keeps people alive. When 30 or more years ago, a person would have died. I think it was Moody who said there's something called the Omega effect, that the more people have these near-death experiences and become very positive, that they make people around them positive as well.
Yes, because you play off people's energy. You play off their consciousness. When someone is happy and they walk into the room, you just feel happy. And if someone's angry when you walk to the room, you want to run out of the room.
Oh, sure.
You know, so we are, we need each other. We are this oneness, and embracing it and serving the world from that place, from a loving place.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember having you on quite a few years ago now, talking about homeopathy. It seems like you've taken your interest in a more cosmic plane.
Yes, I would say that's true. And because that's how I understand it from, of course, and now people are more open to hearing it that way, because more and more people are opening to this possibility because they simply don't want to take material drugs with the side effects of all those drugs, and they want to really be healed. They really want to be healed. They don't want to live with chronic pain and chronic illness. And if there's another way, you know, they want to be able to try that and see if it works for them.
Now, would you feel that you became, let's say, more psychic, more intuitive after having these transcendent experiences?
I would say I was more open to it. And now seeing, of course, it's just part of consciousness. Everyone has an intuitive nature. It's just if you pay attention to it or not and embrace it. Realize it's just part of our structure.
And in your book, you talk about your mother and daughter sort of like coming to embracing these experiences of self-realization in you.
Yeah. When I came upon this monk and would go to the meditation center, I invited my daughter, and she had such a powerful experience herself that really awakened something in her, which was beautiful to see. And she became a much more confident person and started getting A's and B's in school instead of C's and D's. And in fact, one of the teachers commented when I went to an open house, he said, what happened to your daughter? And I said, well, I don't know if you'll believe me if I tell you, because this is many years ago now.
Yeah.
And I told him, and he goes, wow, she's really turned into a leader now. And I said, yes. And that's what happens when you awaken to this essence of who you truly are. You embrace yourself and become far more confident in who you truly are. And then a few years later, I brought my mother, and she had a wonderful experience as well.
All right, one more time. How can people get in touch with you? Your website?
My website, maryterhune.com, T-E-R-H-U-N-E, or on my cell or text, call 978-505-9554. All on my website.
And the book is published by Hay House.
Hay House, yes, it's on Amazon. And the whole title is Out of the Blue, True Life Experiences of Awakening, Revelation, and Transformation.
Okay, thank you very, very much for expanding our awareness regarding what self-realization experiences are and what is available to Maybe it's all, if not this lifetime, another lifetime.
Absolutely, it's our nature.
Okay, why don't you hold the line for me, and I'll get back to you. Thank you once again, Mary Terhune. And you were tuned to 90.3 WZBC in Newton. And hey, join me tomorrow for Sunday Morning Country and Bluegrass.